Well, I'm now joined by John Foreman, Associate Fellow for the Russia and Eurasia Programme at Chatham House, and the UK's former defence attaché in both Moscow and Kyiv. John Foreman, great to have you on the programme. I mean, you heard what the Russians said this morning. There would be consequences for British drones being used by the Ukrainians against Russian targets. What do you think they have in mind, or is this just bluster?
Well, Matt, I think it's a lot of bluster from the Russian embassy, which has been going on for 5 years when I was in Moscow. I'm getting a sense of deja vu because the same sort of tropes they push out in different orders. I think what they're trying to do this time is threefold. Firstly, is to intimidate and scare us and to drive down our support to Ukraine, which the Prime Minister was talking about. I think secondly, they're trying to talk tough to say to the Russian people, look at us standing up to the collective West and one of the masterminds, the Russians say, behind the West standing up against Russia and for Ukraine. And thirdly, I think it's trying to distract from the sort of strikes we've seen being talked about in your report ahead of the elections in September.
And yet, when you look at those pictures of Wildberry storehouses, these massive centres up in flames, oil refineries up in flames, petrol queues, no petrol in Crimea, it does look as if Putin's back is against the wall more now than since the beginning of the full-scale invasion. Do you think that at some stage he might actually be tempted to step it up and deliver consequences?
Well, first, I should say most of the strikes have been carried out by Ukraine and being carried out by Ukrainian missiles and drones. Ukraine went from 10 defence industry sites to 1,500 over the last 4.5 years. And what we're talking about on the British side is complementing that. It's not the bulk of the capability. I certainly think the Ukrainian campaign is systematic. It's basically to impose economic cost, but also psychological cost against Russians who are used to sort of easy consumer culture, which has been inculcated over the last 20 years. And lastly, I think in terms of Putin, his bargain to the Russian people is, you know, I promised you security, stability, prosperity, and each of those has been chipped away by these strikes.
If you were still military attaché in Moscow, what would you be looking out for as signs that the resolve of the regime might be crumbling, that they might actually want to sue for peace at some stage, or the opposite?
Well, if I had a crystal ball, I'd be a very wealthy man. I mean, I think one thing I would say about the Kremlin, it's very hard to actually divine their intents because of the way that the regime works. But I think I'd be looking for other signs, firstly, about on the financial side, about Russia's macroeconomic stability, in particular about debt and the deficit. Secondly, I've been looking for purges of people inside the system of coming out politically inside against Putin. And thirdly, I've been looking at signs of public protest. We're not seeing much of that at the moment, apart from the financial side. I think in terms of escalation, my view, I think, with others is Russia's already attacking us systematically, relentlessly, as the head of GCHQ said. So I would see it's probably more of the same sort of campaign against us, cyber, disinformation, political interference, etc., rather than a direct military clash. And I don't think Russia wants to attack us directly.
Right. Because the question that I'm asked, you know, quite often by friends and colleagues is, are we going to get to a stage where Russian missiles might be flying into London skies, or drones for that matter?
Well, I think unconventional warfare, the things I described, is the more likely scenario. I mean, the thing the people, your friends and colleagues, remember is we're part of an alliance of 32 nations. UK, Germany, France, Italy already outspend Russia dramatically on defence. I think conventional deterrence holds, and Russia has to understand, as we've set out to them, the consequences of any direct military action. So as long as NATO stays united, as long as we continue to support Ukraine and invest in our defence deterrence, we should be safe.
OK, so on that note, final question. If, let's say, the Russians were to test NATO's resolve by attacking one of the Baltic republics or even Poland, are you confident that Donald Trump would weigh in on their behalf for the NATO alliance?
Well, like I say, as I looked at the mood music in the declaration, which came out the Ankara summit in July, of NATO. And actually, I think the theme there was of unity on Ukraine, unity on defence investment, and unity on defence industrial production. Now, we don't know about the Mercurial President, but I would point out that today there are American aircraft flying around Kaliningrad in the Baltics to deter Russia. And I would suspect that to continue, because it's in the interest of America that Europe remains safe and free.
OK, well, thank you very much on that note. I'll take that to the bank. John Foreman, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.